listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I want to talk about the Preakness in the aftermath. I know it's a couple of days after the race, but now things have kind of settled down a little bit. We know there will be no Triple Crown winner this year, as Always Dreaming faded fast down the final stretch of the race in the Preakness. And joining us right now to talk a bit about that and what lies ahead in the Belmont Stakes, we have Steve Bortstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He's also the host of the Fast Track, a nationally syndicated race show. So, Steve, it's great to get you back on. Always look forward to the conversations.
I appreciate it very much, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely. Hey, let's dive right into it and talk about Always Dreaming in the Preakness. You and I talked last week. I think you and I shared the same view that he would win the Preakness, but didn't know if he would be able to hold up in the Belmont. Turns out he ran out of gas in the Preakness.
Yeah, he got pressured early from Classic Empire, and whereas I thought Classic Empire sort of spun his wheels in the Derby, he ran super in putting a lot of pressure on Always Dreaming early. But that early pressure, combined with, I would say, a questionable ride. I don't like questioning riders. I don't like questioning tactics in a race. Certainly, once Julian Leparue aboard Classic Empire sort of opened up down the back, going into the far turn, I think Leparue thought, oh, this is my chance. Let me put this field away. And I thought he opened up a little bit too soon, and that left him vulnerable down the stretch. Classic Empire gets nailed right on the finish line by Cloud Computing. Always Dreaming, to your point, succumbed to that early speed pressure. He tired out, finished eighth. So I think that brings up a number of issues also. Obviously, this was a horse who had his races fairly well spaced apart leading up to the Kentucky Derby. He'd had 5 weeks between the Arkansas Derby and the Kentucky Derby. Before that, he'd had 4 weeks between his last race in Florida. So he needed his races spaced apart a little bit better. This was a quick comeback for him. The pace pressure coming back too quick, that might have cost Always Dreaming a chance. And again, to your point earlier, it was clearly going to cost him in the Belmont. He didn't have the pedigree for it. I didn't like the way he necessarily finished in the Kentucky Derby. He didn't really put away anybody. He sort of just got the perfect trip. So I think there were questions about him going into the Belmont anyway. Yeah, and Saturday we got the answer.
Cloud Computing set third at each quarter pole, and it seemed like he was just waiting for the home stretch. Then, boom, he makes his move. You could talk about how horses have been, how he was rode in this race. I mean, it looks like Javier Castelletto put together a perfect race for Cloud Computing to win. He just sat back, Steve. He bought his time.
Yeah, and really, race tactics, you know, and that's what makes Javier Castelletto such a dangerous race runner. That combined with the fact you had a lightly raced horse who was fresh coming into the Preakness. He didn't have the rigors of the Kentucky Derby. He was well-beaten third behind Irish War Cry in the Wood Memorial about 5 weeks earlier. So he'd had the lightly raced thing. Again, to your point, you know, he wasn't coming out of the tough race in the Kentucky Derby like Always Dreaming or Classic Empire was. So it was the perfect tactic, and it really was the perfect storm for Cloud Computing, who, just like you said, got a tremendously smart ride, let the pace develop in front of him. It was a quicker early half-mile fraction than what we saw in the Kentucky Derby, so he got the right pace scenario, and it'll be interesting to see what trainer Chad Brown does with him going forward.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, Steve. I believe that the best horse in the Triple Crown leg is yet to win, and that's Classic Empire. Am I wrong for thinking this?
No, I think Classic Empire showed me, it makes me mad because he was my original Derby horse, and he didn't run his best race that day. He had the rough trip. He was wide turning for home on a sloppy race check that was favoring inside speed. We didn't see the best Classic Empire run in the Kentucky Derby, and we certainly got a very much better effort from him in the Preakness Stakes, but I don't think we'll see him in the Belmont. It makes no sense to run him in the Belmont. My best guess right now is that you'll see Classic Empire come back somewhere before the Haskell or the Travers Stakes up in New York, or the Haskell Stakes in New Jersey. It makes no sense to run him in the Belmont because it's a hard race to win. It's a difficult thing to come back from. And I think unless there's a Triple Crown on the line, or unless you're a long-distance horse who is, you know, it has been specifically pointed to that, it makes no sense to run there.
No, but I think going into it, he would be the odds-on favorite, wouldn't he?
He would be the favorite. He would clearly be the favorite, but I think there's bigger goals in mind than the Belmont Stakes. And that's no offense to the Belmont Stakes. It's still a very prestigious race, but you know, if the long-term goal is the Breeders' Cup, if the long-term goal is to ship out west or run in the Breeders' Cup against Arrogant, against the top older horse in America right now, maybe the top older horse in the world based on the way he won the Dubai World Cup back in March, if that's your goal, then I think you want to steer a campaign together right now that points him in that direction. I don't know if he's good enough to beat Arrogant today, tomorrow, the next day, but I don't believe for a second that these connections aren't thinking about that. I would have to imagine that these connections would be thinking about that quite a bit. These are Breeders' Cup trainers. The people who own, the people who train Classic Empire are Breeders' Cup type people. These are the kind of people that want to win those big races. And again, without the prestige that the Belmont carries when a Triple Crown is attached to it, and again, this is no offense to the Belmont Stakes, but it doesn't carry the same weight. And it's a mile and a half. It's a grueling, taxing, and completely difficult race that you don't have to run in if there's not a Triple Crown on the line.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, let's move on and talk about the Belmont here for a moment. You have said this on the show several times, and I could not agree more with you. Horse racing does not need a Triple Crown winner. I couldn't agree more with you. You and I have talked boxing and horse racing with each other several times, and I get tired of the fight of the century. I think I've talked about six or seven fights of the century in my 10 years in broadcasting. With that being said, does it take a lot away from the Belmont, from the not only the casual or the fringe fan, but from the hardcore fan? Does it take interest out of the Belmont? I mean, you were just talking a minute ago about Classic Empire not needing to run in the Belmont. Obviously, that would not be the case if there was a chance for a Triple Crown here. So in that aspect, how important is it for a horse to go 2-for-2 into the final race for the sports perspective?
There's a lot of ways to answer this question, and I get this question all the time, and you and I have talked about this off the air a lot. It's not that the race isn't important. The Belmont Stakes is tremendously important, but not to the general sports fan when there's no Triple Crown on the line. The Belmont Stakes is extremely important to a certain group of people in the racing industry, owners and breeders, because it's a grade one race at a mile and a half. It's a prestigious race. It's a black type race. We call it black type because in pedigree books, the Belmont is one of those legacy type races. So when you decide to have your colt now go to the breeding shed and it says next to his name, grade one Belmont Stakes winner, that ups his breeding value. That ups his stud value. Well, that does a lot for owners and breeders and trainers and horsemen, but that doesn't do anything for you and I going to the windows or betting from home. That doesn't do a thing for us. So that doesn't matter to you or I, but it matters to the horsemen and the trainers, and that's certainly a big deal. Here's the problem, is that we hear so much all the time about, oh, racing needs a Triple Crown winner. We need a mega fight. We need the fight of the century. No, what we need are people who are able to promote the sport and market the sport of racing to the casual fan. Belmont Stakes Day by itself, Belmont Stakes Day without a Triple Crown on the line, still is going to feature six stakes races full of incredibly good horses running for hundreds and thousands of dollars of purse money. But you're not going to hear about that as a general sports fan. What you're going to hear is, well, there's no Triple Crown on the line. Who cares about the Belmont? And that's the problem, is that there are not enough people in this sport, there are not enough people in horse racing to tell fans, hey, this is a tremendous day of racing. This is the same in boxing. Oh, well, there's no real champion in us on this fight card. Who cares? We haven't heard of these people. Well, the undercard's really good. You might not have heard of these guys, but they're really spectacular boxers. Boxing doesn't promote itself that way. Unless it's a heavyweight champion on the line, we don't know about it. And that's the problem. To me, it's always been boxing, horse racing, hockey, all of your so-called fringe sports that don't get the main everyday daily headlines that basketball and football and baseball do, and deservedly so. The fringe sports need to do a better job promoting itself because they're not, and therefore you don't know about these other great races that are going on this day, which otherwise, if it was for a Triple Crown, everyone in the world would be at it. But because we don't have this one glorified achievement that is so difficult to get to, nobody cares about it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest travesties of the week is that not a lot of people are talking about cloud computing, and that is very sad because he won a very difficult race against a couple of quality opponents, and it was a perfect race for him, Steve, yet he's not getting a whole lot of pub this week.
And I would go back to a question you asked earlier about Classic Empire, you know, being the best horse, you know, not to win a Triple Crown race. I would argue, and I would make the case here, that if Classic Empire doesn't run in the Belmont or doesn't win the Belmont, what have you, I would argue that of the three races, the most impressive race, we don't know the Belmont, obviously, but I would argue the most impressive race was run by Cloud Computing. I mean, Always Dreaming got the absolute perfect trip, stalking outside one horse on a track that was favoring inside speed. That was easy. Cloud Computing overcame a lot. Cloud Computing had a rundown, had to not only beat the Kentucky Derby winner, hard to do off of just three lifetime races, had to run down a very talented horse in Classic Empire, and had to do it over a track he'd never been over before in front of 75,000-80,000 people. So I think that's a great point, you know, that you bring up here. Cloud Computing ran a tremendous race, and nobody's talking about him today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It definitely is. As far as I don't want to talk about Triple Crown winners, but when we go back to American Pharoah, which we're now a couple of years removed from that, Steve, has it lasted? When you talk to a lot of fringe or casual fans, has it lasted? Are people still talking about American Pharoah accomplishing something that not many people in their lifetime have seen up until that point?
Well, the hangover effect is still there, sure, for the fringe fan. For me, the cynic, it's, that was great, let's move on. Because that's what racing fans do, that's what boxing fans do, that's what sports fans do, I think. You know, by and large, that was great, that was a really cool thing, now let's get on to the next one. And I think for the fringe fan, everyone bought into the romanticism of American Pharoah. Everyone bought into the romanticism of him coming back and, you know, running the Breeders' Cup Classic later that same year. So naturally, we were all enamored by it. And then the reality comes in last year where you have three separate winners and three separate Triple Crown races. And we may see that again this year. So reality comes back into play. But to the question of, you know, is there still that hangover effect? I think for the general fan, yeah, people are like, well, where's the next American Pharoah? And my argument is, you saw it, and that was American Pharoah because he was the next Secretariat, he was the next Affirmed, he was the next Seattle Slough. I don't need that, and that's, you know, to the question earlier about does racing need this. I don't care about the next American Pharoah. I want to know about the winner in the next race. That's the thing that drives me. You look for the next great boxer. I look for the next win bet. That's what we do as yeah, sports fans in these particular sports.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Steve, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can listen to the Fast Track weekend mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern. That's 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch also First Sports weekday mornings. That's from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. 7 days a week, we're doing stuff on the radio. It's good stuff. You can catch it online if you have downloaded the iHeartRadio app to your smartphone or wireless device. You can go to Fox Sports New Mexico, which is Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM. The First Sports program, Jordan's a featured player on the show quite frequently, talking boxing with us. We talk a lot of basketball, Utah Jazz stuff we talk about with Jordan when he's on with us. We also have a lot of great lists of national guests. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals coming up really soon. Looking forward to that. We talk a lot of NFL, college football. That's First Sports weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. And then, of course, the Fast Track weekend, 10 a.m. Eastern. And make sure to follow me online through Twitter at Fox 1340 AM.
Steve, always fun to get you on and talk some horse racing or baseball or whatever we're talking about. I always enjoy the conversation, so thank you again.
Likewise, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this break.